Good morning. Good morning to our online church. We're so happy that you're with us today. And it's so fun as we're in the community. Both my wife and I, and we'll get stopped by somebody and says, hey, we're a part of Harvest Online. And so just a shout out to those who are attending online. And of course, we always invite you to come and be a part of what's happening in the room if you do live in the city or close by. I want to remind you of something that we're taking an initiative with, and we'll have some video footage for you next week, some greetings from Eric and Ida Lith, Jacowitz from Puebla, Mexico, and they're excited. They talked to me. We support that church in a number of ways. We support that family financially through our missions dollars. Everything that comes in our general fund gets tithed here at Harvest, and so we put it outside and set it aside to the Lord. And that goes into our missions endeavors, at least a minimum of 10%. And they're one of the families that we support. They have, I believe it's 5 campuses with multiple services in most of those campuses. And they have not been able to get one place since before COVID. I think it's been about 5 years. And we were hoping to have been able to facilitate a conference for them this fall. It didn't work out. But when we got talking, I said, hey, how about, and I pitched the idea. And they hadn't thought about it because they just don't have the financial means to bring everybody together under one roof. And I said, I'm going to step out in faith and commit our church to this endeavor. We shared that with you, and we'll be sharing it with you throughout the month of November. The final Sunday in November will be the final Sunday to be able to give toward this initiative. And they're going to be able to gather the second week of January and even bus some of the folks that can't otherwise get to the central location. And we'll see next week, we'll see a video from one of my favorite places of the campuses is Veracruz, which is an old, there's just so much history in Veracruz. It's where the Spanish Inquisition actually entered in into Mexico. And that's not a good thing necessarily, but just a historical thing. And they're believing it's an entry point for a church campus. And they're bringing greetings from a balcony that overlooks the ocean. It's not too bad to look at. And so they'll express a little bit more of all of the things that'll be going on because of this great service that we're going to make happen, that our church will make happen. About $14,000 to rent the facility, bus people in, and take care of this incredible event. We're asking you to pray about what you could do to be a part of Operation Fuente. Fuente means the fountain, and there is a great fountain bubbling up in that region because of this great family. All right, we're going to jump into the Word this morning, and we've been looking at our verse. This is our series called A Better Way. We're doing a series on finances. Jesus talked about money more than anything else in the New Testament, and we can't say we are a Bible-believing church if we're not talking about the things that Jesus talked about. Isaiah the prophet said, on God's behalf, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. That the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher, or my ways are better. Say better. Yeah, God's ways are better than ours. We want to adopt God's ways, especially in our finances. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Lord, we just thank you right now that you'll be with us once again. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace that there's been in these last 2 weeks and now our third week in this series. Not always an easy one, because as Jesus taught us, follow the money. That's where our heart is. And so, Lord, as you're speaking to us, you want all of our heart. Lord, have your way, we pray, in this service, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So in week one, we talked about uncomplicating money. Why is it complicated? Because there are two voices in this world. There's the voice of mammon, a literal demonic spirit that rules and reigns in the atmosphere over this world's economy and wealth. And then there is the voice of God, a different economy. And God wants to bless his people here on the earth, blessing and prosperity. So that we can be a vehicle of blessing for God. And so those two voices, and we have to uncomplicate that by recognizing whose voice are we listening to. Last week, we saw this principle, this verse that Jesus talks in Matthew, that our if you follow the money, you'll know where your heart is. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. It's not the other way around. It's not that I'm going to put my heart over here, then my money will follow. No, our heart follows our finances, our money. God designed it that way. Jesus told us about that. And that's not a bad thing, but it's something that we need to understand because God wants how much of our heart? He wants all. Hey, you were here last week. That's awesome. He wants all of our heart. And so Jesus gave us a test in the New Testament about how do we, actually throughout the scriptures, to test our hearts. Does God have all of our heart? And there's a principle all through the scriptures. It's not a four-letter word. It's actually a five-letter word. And that word is the tithe, 10%. And so if there's $10, a tithe is one. A tithe is just one of those $10. $10, one belongs to God. And today we're going to talk about a better way. This is part three, money laundering. Going to teach you how to launder your money today, all right? And that's exciting. We're going to clean our money today. I never quite understood what that was all about. I'd heard about it. I knew the mob did it and watched a couple of old movies and realized to legitimize, you know, dirty money or money that is criminally produced and they run it through, they launder it. Well, I'm going to kind of talk something similar today, how to clean our money, how to launder our money. And so last week, as we talked about the tithe, I said I would break it down and simplify it for you. We would talk about what is the tithe. It's $1 of 10, 10%. When do we tithe? We're going to talk about that today. Why do we tithe? Where do we tithe? Next week, I want to talk to you about the storehouse principle and how do we tithe. And so last week, as we looked at it, 1 out of 10, it's simply drop the zero. We just drop the zero. And so if you're paid $10, then the tithe is, you're great, you're with me. 100 is 10. If you're paid $1,000, it's 100. $10,000, it's 1,000. $100,000, it's 10,000. And 200,000, I just threw a two in there to throw a curve in it. You still drop the zero. And it's $20,000. Mentioned last week that as those numbers go up, they get a little scarier. Shared the story with you last week where a year that we had enjoyed God's blessing, and Christina and I have been doing this our whole lives, and this isn't theory, this is something we put to practice, we test God, so we're going to see today that we're allowed to do, And the tax receipt, it was a little bit alarming in its size. She said, "Do you know how much we gave this year?" I said, "I do." We gave $1. And it's still always going to be $1. The people that have the most difficulty with this concept often are the people who have more. And it really is. God just simplified it. Said, it's not hard. We're just going to drop the zero. Say, drop the zero. And so this week, we're going to talk a little bit about when do we tithe? And so as we get paid each week, you know, we have to pay our housing, and that's getting expensive if you have a mortgage and interest rates are up right now. And of course, there's gas in the car, there's insurance on the car, there's hydro, and there's utilities, and there's you know, the kids need stuff for school, and pay stuff, and often, oh, I ran out. Often there's more week than there is money. And so the kind of the approach that some people take is, oh, I'm sorry, God, I ran out. There's not enough for you. I'll tell you what though, God, when I make more money, I love this series. I want to be a contributor. I want to be a part of this. God, I will tithe when I have more money, and I have more money than I have week. God, then I'll start tithing. Whose voice is that? That's Mammon's voice. That's the voice of Mammon. We learned that in week one. If you weren't here for that, I would encourage you to go back and watch week one's teaching, because it's really tantamount, and it really we took the plumb line off of week one to understand this very, very important concept. It complicates and it causes anxiety in our heart. We kind of squeeze our money hard. I don't know if I have any money to give. That's the voice of Mammon. And today we're answering when do I tithe? First. I tithe first. That's the answer to when. It's first. Say first. The first one belongs to God. This first one is the one I bring, we're going to see next week, to the storehouse, because tithing is not just an amount. And this is super important. This whole principle this morning is really, really important. Someone came up to me last week, and I appreciated their comment. They said, you know, I thank you, Pastor Roy, for making this simple, breaking it down, you know, explaining it, because I grew up in an environment where it was just, you tithe because God said so. And that's it, that's all. And I want you to understand there are principles behind this. There are faith principles and kingdom principles behind this. Excuse me. I think something just flew down my throat. A little protein, never hurt anybody, I guess. This principle is really important because it's trying to come out. Excuse me. Either come in or go out, one or the other. All right. And so this principle is super important because as we see that we're going to see this morning, this idea of the first is very important to God. And it's all the way through the scriptures. And so we bring the first one to God. Say first. Because tithing is not just an amount, 10%. It's the order in which we give. When we talk about this principle, this test that God has put in, he's going to say, test me with this. But God is also showing us where our heart is. When we get paid, can we bring the tithe, the first to God? Let's break this down. I want you to see this in the scriptures this morning. I want to look at the story of Cain and Abel, and it's a famous story because it's the first murder. It's not famous by good means, but Cain kills his brother Abel because he was angry at him, and it was over an offering that they brought to the Lord, the gift that they brought to the Lord. And it says, now Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of ground. So they're agricultural brothers. They have, they're farming, and one is farming livestock and one is farming agriculturally crops in the ground. And it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Well, this is really important. Stay with me as we look at this important principle right here, that in the process of time, is the lead-in, that Cain brings something to God in the process of time, which basically means when Cain got around to it, in the process of time, when Cain got around to it, he brought something to God. He brought something to God. This week, we have a men's prayer group that meets on Tuesdays. Graham oversees that group, and it's a wonderful group of men that I get to see when I come in on Tuesday mornings that are praying here. And they pray for us as a church, and they pray for so many things. Just a great small group. And they also love to get together for some breakfast once a month. And I got in on that this week. Aaron and I hijacked the breakfast meeting at Harv's and went in and just had a great time with the guys as we were having breakfast. So when we got finished, they brought the bills to everybody, and I grabbed the bill for Aaron and I and headed to the cash, and it was $16. And so I had a 20, and so I pulled the 20 out, and I handed the waitress that was just a wonderful lady, handed her the 20, and I said to her, keep, told her to keep the change. I gave her what was left over. I paid the bill, and I gave her what was left. And we call that tipping. And sometimes some of us, like Cain, we approach God with what's left over. And if there was more money than there was week, oh, I can afford to tithe. In the process of time, I'll say, God, keep the change. Keep the change. And we tip God. Now, as we go through this series, I want to just because of the nature and the human nature, and I'll constantly say this. It's a little bit self-serving for pastor to be, you know, preaching this because we receive tithes and offerings here in the church. We budget our budget. We're going to talk about the how of tithing. We're going to talk all about that. We're going to simplify and break that down. Thank you. It's too late. I swallowed it already, but thank you. And we're going to talk, you know, how do we budget and how does the church use the money that comes in and all those things. We want you to know and understand all of that. But as we do this, there's no condemnation. If you hear this, you look, I just don't believe that. Then don't tithe. Or if you think I'm doing this series because I'm trying to get more money out of you with all sincerity, then that would be bad. That would be untrustworthy on my part. And honestly, I would want you to go somewhere where you're more comfortable and tithe there. And the reason for doing this is God began to speak to me. First of all, back it up. When we planted the church and we were coming in 2003 and Cornwall was in an economic disaster. The plants were closing just a few years, 4 years before Levi's, the last textile plant. I understood the economic climate that I was coming into. God called us to plant this church. And I knew the vision. I knew what God had called us to. And I knew that was an expensive vision. It would require faith. It would require finances. It would require to move the kingdom the way God saw that this city needed. It would need people who could give to the Lord. And so I began to pray about that. I said, but Lord, you know, this is an economic difficult time. And God spoke to us the year before we planted. And he gave me a promise. He said, if you will share with the people the principles of the word, you will never worry about finances in this house. And I believe that. But I also realized how long it's been since I've shared this. And as the Lord began to speak to me this summer, he was speaking firmly to me. And I actually called those that are over me in the Lord, Brother Frank Satius and Brother Russ Conway. And I said, I need to repent. I have done a disservice to our church because I've not properly done this for a while. And so I spent the summer studying these concepts and knowing that this fall, and we're going to move into a new year, and I just think it's going to be exciting. I'm sharing this with you because I'm not looking for something from you. I really, really want something for you. And I want to continue to be known as a house that when people look, when I took a Catholic priest for a tour through this building about 10 years ago, and he kept saying, how do you pay for this? How do you pay for this? And it was a former priest from this parish. How do you pray? How? And I just said, tithing. He said, we teach that too, but nobody does it. And I said, I know, but people do it. And so he said, okay, listen, I got to ask you. The rumor is you ask people to second mortgage their houses so you can do all this. And I immediately said, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? I want to continue to be known as a house of generosity where people scratch their heads and say, how is it possible? Because it doesn't make sense. It's supernatural. It's God's economy. And mammon will tell you differently. And so Cain said to God, keep the change. Abel also brought the first of the flock. It doesn't matter that one was agriculture and one was animals. One was a tip and one was the first. Say the first. And the Lord respected Abel for his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. There was a blessing on Abel, but not on Cain. Not because God was cursing Cain, but because Abel was stepping into a principle, the first releases blessing. It's God's economy. It worked. God set it up to work this way. Faith for the first. And when that sheep would have that first lamb, there were no guarantees for sheep number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He didn't wait for number 10. Faith for the first. When do we tithe is what we're talking about. First, I'll ask you, when do we tithe?
First.
We tithe first. God wants to be first. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We're answering this question. It's first. Before we pay anything else, we bring to God, and we're going to see next week, we can't say we give to God. We can't say we give to God because you're not giving. It already belongs to God. You are bringing. See the word? It says honor and bring. It's bring to the storehouse, we're going to see. Not give. You're just bringing what belongs to God and giving it back and putting him first. What is the tithe? And when do I tithe? Why do I tithe? Well, obviously, I tithe because God wants my whole heart, and I want to be obedient. But we've said it this way: do we give to get? And we say, well, we don't give to get, but I don't give to lose either. I see throughout the scripture that there is a promise. Why do I tithe personally? And why should we tithe? And why are we tithing? Because it's attached to promise. It is attached to promise. The promise is 90% with God's blessing always goes further than the 100%. It is the promise of God. Bring, there it is, bring the whole tithe, bring it, not give it, that there may be food in my house. And we're going to talk about the food that's in this house and the food that God has blessed us with in this house, what this house has been able to do to nourish this region, to nourish you, nourish our families and our marriages. And there's been nourishment in this house. And let me ask you, if you've been nourished in this house, give a big amen on the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Been nourished in this house. Why? Because this principle has been in place. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. We don't want to store it. We want to give it out. We want to be a house that continually is giving out and growing and expanding in this region. There's only this one place only, where God says, hey, test me in this principle, and you'll see that it works.
But I would just say that, like, in our lives, the 90, whether it was 90% of a lot or 90% of a little, has always been enough. And I guess a real kind of practical example to where we felt the difference was when finishing university, I had a co-op job and they offered me a full-time position. So I was working in software in Ottawa, and that's where we were living. And then Pastor Roy asked us to consider, or asked me to consider, coming on staff at Harvest, which we eventually said yes to. And the difference was, like, I was making a little more than half working for the church compared to what I was making doing software. So that's obviously a huge difference. And so 90% of that is a lot less than 90% of what we were making before. But I think, like, I can say I didn't even feel the difference.
And I think that's the provision of God.
Yeah.
I think that's part of just trusting him. And
yeah, and the reality is, like, that doesn't make any sense. That, like, we moved to Cornwall, we purchased a house somehow, and we had all the same or more bills and expenses. We had our first kid at that point, and I never remember feeling like the 90% of, you know, less than half and as what I was making before was going to be enough. He was just always faithful, and yeah. It's interesting how, like, when I look back, I love the kind of dramatic stories of, like, you know, we started giving or we gave over and above and we saw God do this. And sometimes I wish I had a dramatic example, but I feel like for us, it's just the consistent faithfulness. It's like, as we've been consistently faithful to the principle, he has just always been consistently faithful to give us more than we ask or imagine. So it's not as dramatic, but it's, like, just as obvious to me to look back and see his goodness.
We've learned that we need to give, even though it hurts sometimes. And God is always faithful, always, always provides for us.
One of the reasons why we increased was because we were going through tough times financially. Mm-hmm. And we just thought, let's give even more. In faith, we're going to trust God. And he never disappointed us. He was always faithful. And there's one particular time, you know, when we were in Bible college and just pastoring other churches, we had missions drives, we had building campaigns, and so we always gave extra to those. But there was one particular church, they encouraged us to give until it hurt. And so Luz and I had prayed about a number, and we agreed, and we made our pledge, and the whole time wondering, we didn't have that extra money. And it was a three-year pledge. And after those 3 years, that was going to be a chunk of money that we gave towards the building campaign. And so, you know, it was a test of our faith. Yeah. Could we trust God? But about a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most, after we had made our pledge, Lewis got a raise for that exact amount that we had pledged for every month. God knew about the raise before we did, and he was just wanting us to walk in obedience and to trust him. So tithing and living without 100% of your pay, but doing with 90 because you're giving the rest to God, we've worked alongside each other our whole married life. We've been married 42 years. And for 27 of those years, I did not work. I volunteered with him in ministry so that we could work together. So we did without an extra paycheck. We never went without tithing. We always made it a point. And we lived with less, but God blessed us. He still worked in us. We had everything that we needed. We never went without. And we could still give over and above just because of God's goodness and faithfulness.
And in the middle of one of those times where she gave up one of her jobs or gave up a job to work alongside me in the church, we had been with a financial advisor. And he would sit down with us, and it's been a number of years, and he was trying to help us to, you know, have some money left for when we retire, or plan for when we retire. And he knew our financial income, he knew our financial expenses, he knew everything about us. And he wasn't a Christ follower, but he marveled, knowing my salary as a pastor, that it wasn't, a lot. He couldn't believe how we had everything we need. And it just spoke to him volumes about our faithfulness. And we often said, oh, we give this tithe. He always saw that line item in our finances. But it spoke of God's grace to doing with the 90% what we couldn't do with 100, really.
Why do I tithe? Because there's a promise that with God, the 90 goes further than the 100 ever could. I want to show you the why of that. Because we say that. We say we're kind of, are we just pulling that out of the air? No. There is a principle of the first and why it works this way. Why God honors what we're partnering with him. When we do this, we're partnering with God in faith, and that faith activates his blessing. If we go back to Exodus, God gave some instructions to Moses. He said to Moses, consecrate or set apart, put off to the side, concentrate to God. This belongs to God. All the firstborn. Which born? The firstborn, the first. So we're talking agricultural here and farming, but for us, it's our money, it's our first. Consecrate to me the first. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel is mine. And this word, this phrase, it is mine, is very emphatic. It's a very strong phrase in the Hebrew language. It's mine. God says it belongs to me. And so it's all God's, so the whole 100 is God's, but God is saying specifically the first belongs to me. Why? Because of this principle that we're going to make some connections with into the New Testament and understand. He said, you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb. So if you're a farmer, everything, all the animals, the firstborn animal belongs to God. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you shall not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Now, we're just going to stop here for a second. If a donkey was born, you're not going to sacrifice the donkey. You have to kill a lamb on the behalf of a donkey, because what's being introduced here is the idea in the Old Testament that you couldn't eat all of the animals. There were dietary laws that God had provided the children of Israel. And so there were certain animals that they did not eat, and those were called unclean animals. There was clean and there was unclean. And so this verse is helping us understand the donkey speaks of the unclean class of animals. The lamb of the clean class of animals. And so if an unclean animal was born, remember this morning we're talking about how to launder your money. If an unclean animal was born, you would redeem it, or that literally means pay for it, by sacrificing the lamb, an animal that was clean. And just as an aside note, if you don't do that, then you break the neck of the donkey. In other words, you're going to lose the donkey anyway. You're going to lose the donkey anyway. It's interesting. So lambs and donkeys, clean and unclean. So Pastor Roy, how does that relate to us today? And why does the 90 go further than the 100? I'm curious. I'd like to know, why are we talking about clean and unclean animals? Because spiritually speaking, when you and I were we born clean or unclean? We were born unclean. You do not have to teach your children to be bad. They do it all by themselves. We teach them how to change their behavior. The Bible says that there is no one righteous, not even one. For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are born unclean. Question, was Jesus born as he came into the manger? He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was God with clothes on. He was entirely human and entirely God. It's a mystery of the Godhead coming to dwell amongst men. I don't know how he was God and man at the same time, but the Bible says he was. And he was born. Was he born clean or unclean? He was born clean. He was born clean. And when Jesus was walking one day, John the Baptist saw him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that belongs to God, God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." In Revelation, he's referred to as the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. What do these scriptures mean? That Jesus was set aside. He was consecrated for the purpose of God. God's first and only Son. Not God's second Son. You and I are his second and third and fourth. And in faith, God provided Jesus, his first Son. And he provided him who was clean. And Jesus was given, watch this now, in faith. Because there was no guarantees that anyone would say, "I want to be cleansed. I want to be paid for. I want to be redeemed by the Lamb that was provided by God." Because in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners, while we were still unclean. He provided first the clean. He didn't wait for anybody to clean themselves up. He didn't wait for anybody to wait for leftovers of cleanness, because it was impossible. God gave his first. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his first. And his first redeemed and cleansed you and I. This principle is all through Scripture. The clean redeems the unclean. And so the first in faith, when you do this, redeems the rest. It causes your money, that 90% that was under the spirit of mammon, and can stay there if you wish it to. And like Cain, who is not God cursing him, but Cain, who kept his money in the regime of mammon and tipped God, brought what was, let God keep the change. Or Abel, who brought to God his first, and the first released the blessing of God. Again, not that God was abstaining but God's saying, here's the principle. Here's how it works. Now I need you to partner with me and use my principle. The first in faith redeems the rest. Why do I tithe? Because faith activates the promise.
The 90 does go beyond the 10%, because when you give the 10% right away, you don't even see it gone. But then the 90% that you have left, yes, he blesses that even more. Like when we first moved to Cornwall back in 1982, after everything was paid, we were sitting in a parking lot and we had 75 cents left. And I thought, oh my God, and it was close to Christmas. It was December of 82. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, our children will have no Christmas. But then, like, we can laugh about it now, but then Henry went into work and there was an envelope on the bulletin board and it had his name on it. And there was a check in there for $3,500 that Ottawa owed him before we moved. So we would laugh. Yeah. And we'd say, okay, our 90% is being back up to 100% because of what God does.
Our tithing journey as a married couple began very rocky. When we first got married, we had between $100,000 to $150,000 worth of debt. And that equaled, like, more debt repayment than, like, living costs. And so thinking about tithing was huge, but we also, it took us a long time to find a home church. It took us about 2 years to find Harvest and like really engage. And so once we did, I was like, we need to tithe. And because the bills were so tight, you did not agree with that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a journey and an experience. I think finances were very tight and it was a big issue for us. But eventually, I guess we just kind of just decided, I guess, kind of out of just obedience and knowing, and I had it in my upbringing. So growing up as a kid, I did it out of obedience because my parents were kind of on top of my finances, even through like high school. They knew, you know, a paycheck, I would have to pull out, you know, that 10% and tithe. But yeah, once I was on my own, and I was responsible for my own finances. That's when things kind of, like you said, kind of fell off. Shortly after we made the decision to start tithing, my work actually went to a reduced work week. Just there wasn't as much work coming in, and we were in consulting engineering. And so a lot of the company employees went down to just 3 or 4 days a week. So that reduction of income, and it was looking that way for us too. That was kind of another just test along the way, because we had to kind of reevaluated again about, like, hey, we said we're going to do this thing. Are we sure we still want to do it? Because it just got a lot tighter. But we made the decision that, you know, we're going to trust God in this and do it. And shortly after that, I ended up getting placed at a site still within the same company, working out of the States, which allowed for a significant tax break and the majority of income tax actually being returned to me based on a specific program that was set up. So, you know, we kind of held strong in our decision, and you know, I think this big way that God came through for us, and just, yeah, it worked out to our benefit in a big way.
Yeah, I remember really wanting to step into tithing and then agreeing to step into tithing, then the work week being cut down and just asking, like, are we doing this? And Ted's like, either we're doing it or we're not doing it. If we're doing it, we're going to do it. And I remember just the verse in the Bible where it says, like, test me and see that I will do this. Like, God says, test me with the area of your finances. And so it was like, again, we're a young married couple. We own a home. The numbers did not make sense. And so we decided to test God. And so not only did he not get reduced in his hours, but he had more hours. And then seeing at the end of that year, I guess like tax time the following year, that amount almost like not to the dollar, but very closely, the amount that we tithed come back in income tax. So we were able to kind of reduce our debt was an amazing test to see, because we did not, I remember just being so excited about tithing and like him being on board and then being like, that's not what I want to do. And then just trusting God and like stepping out in that act of faith. And it's like, it's not even like we trusted God. We just were obedient to doing it. It did not feel great, but then seeing it actually work out to our benefit was pretty amazing.
It's been a gradual process. I don't have an astounding, amazing miracle where I was down to my last dollar and God did something amazing. But it's been a much more gradual process that as I've become freer with my money, he set me up a long time ago to have a really good job where I get a really good pension. And now I work part-time and I still make a good wage. And I attribute that to God. It's not of my own doing that he's just been faithful in blessing us through all these years.
These people are not actors. They are real life people from Harvest Christian Fellowship. People that you and I know and rub shoulders with each and every day. And are testifying to the power of tithing in their life. God said he would rebuke the devourer on the behalf of those who bring the first. Thank you to those who shared and powerful story of paying down $150,000 or more dollars in debt. I'll never forget as we were at a time in our church where we needed to staff and there was a specific kind of skill set that we needed. And the pastors that were over my life and we were praying together and seeking the wisdom of God. And they said to me, if you could hire anybody, who would you hire? Oh, I go, it's without a doubt. I know exactly who I would hire. I would hire the best person for that position, but we can't afford them. What if, let them decide that. Let the person decide that. All they can do is say no. And I remember thinking that if God's building his house, and as we're going to see next week, this is the most important plan. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell won't even interfere. Jesus is so focused on what he's doing. He's not building not-for-profits. He's not building businesses. He's not building Christian Netflix industries so that the world can be saved through Christian film. Those aren't bad things. It's just not the thing. It's not the thing that Jesus is doing. The thing that Jesus is doing is building his church. And so I remember making the drive, praying all the way to Ottawa and going to Brittany and Ryan's first apartment and sitting down with them. They knew whatever it was I was going to share with them must have been, it was big because I was driving from Cornwall up to Ottawa. They were commuting down for church on the weekends, but living in Ottawa. And I began to share the vision of what could happen if Ryan were to come on staff and make less than half of what he was making. That was a hard pitch. I didn't even try to sell that part of it. But I said, would you pray about this and see what God would say to you? And they did, and they got back, and they said, God's telling us to do it. It's a step of faith. Say faith. I love the story. That 90% became much less at that moment. And God blessed them. A number of years ago, when Ryan was just a young man, before he was married to Brittany, here in this church, on this platform, received a prophetic word during some prophetic prayer times. And the prophet said to gather, begin to speak over his life, abundance and prosperity. And so it's those moments where he knows what the promise of God is. And it seems like coming to work somewhere for half your pay would be in the wrong direction. But God was saying, no, it's the right direction. It's the right direction. Ryan currently is still on staff, but not 5 days a week. He's down to actually a half day a week, and he's able to do what needs to be done. And the app that he's working for a company, the app that he's building right now, is all over the world. I forget, like it's over 1 million users, if I remember the number right. Because God's using him to influence the marketplace because of promise. And God blessed, even though when it was going this way, it looked like this is the wrong way to be. So we walk with God when it doesn't make sense. And Mammon is screaming, going, the numbers don't add up. Lydia and Lewis saying that their financial planner said, this is dumb. You know, this is, you know, you need money and you're giving it away. Right. And when we need more, we give more away. Because we're just not going to let Mammon have his way. Powerful stories today, and I'm just really appreciative to hear them today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, through throughout the series, there's no question that there's just, we're going to come to that point that if we're already practicing this beautiful principle of tithing, you know, God's going to talk to us about, we heard about an offering today, the over and above, and being free. And Murray's saying, I don't have a dramatic story, but what I can tell you is I've become freer and freer. If we have opportunity, there are other stories that Murray and Lene can tell about being able to bless people who otherwise wouldn't have been able to be provided for. But God provided using their prosperity to prosper another. There's no question. If you're already doing it, you'll just be reminded and then go, yes, I'm going to continue. But today you might be here and you're saying, but I don't do this. Man, this is hard. And from another story last week, that's a hard pill to swallow. Again, we're just taking our time. But each week as the word comes and you're hearing God's voice, just uncomplicate it. Make a decision right now. I don't understand it. And I'm not even saying I'm going to do this. But I'm hearing, this is the Bible. I'm hearing the Bible. I'm hearing real life testimony that this isn't theory. This is a life in God. From people who have served God a very, very long time and people who have served God maybe not as long. And today, just, I always say this, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Just make me willing to be willing. And I'm not even asking you to change anything yet. We're not done building this foundation on the word of what this is about. And when we do how do we tithe? I'll talk to you a little bit about a suggestion, what I think God might be saying to us about how to step into this if we're not already participating. If you're here today and you would say that you're not sure what would happen if you were to be snuffed out of this life and if you were to stand before God in the next moment, you're not sure if you would go to heaven. You would hope perhaps you would. And some people go, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I hope that God would let me in heaven. The Bible, we read that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one person is born. There aren't enough good things you can do to buy back eternal life. You cannot purchase eternal life by good deeds. It's impossible. But God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, the Lamb, who paid with his eternal life. He gave his eternal life so that you could have eternal life. And you might be here today and say, I didn't know that. But today, I want eternal life. Bible says we simply need to acknowledge that Jesus died in our place. Ask him to forgive us. Ask him into our lives. Make him your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. Everyone here in the room is going to pray this prayer. But today, this is your prayer. Make it your prayer. If you're online today, make this your prayer today. If you've never asked Jesus to receive the gift of his life, eternal life that was given for you. If that's you, pray with me. Dear Jesus, we're all praying together. Dear Jesus,
thank you
that you love me
today.
I make a decision to receive you into my life. My sin in exchange for your love, for your forgiveness, for eternal life. That's the best deal I've ever heard of. I don't understand it, but I receive it today. I receive eternal life. I receive forgiveness. I begin my life with you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we believe you're born again. Come on, stand to your feet before we go today.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Praise.
Been an amazing morning. Thank you for showing up. Have a blessed week. Father, we just pray a blessing over everyone this morning, God, as they leave this place and go about their life, God, that you will bless them, Father. And Father, that this week will be the greatest week. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you, Harvest. We'll see you back here next week.